In business, it's important to plan, but you have to have a plan for what happens when that plan goes south. Jump first, build the wings on the way down. That's a direct quote from our next guest, Henry Boggs of Concept Manufacturing, next on Purpose Under Pressure. Heat is on. Let's get cooking. This is Purpose Under Pressure, sharing stories of why we're here and how we fight to make our purpose come true. If you like the show enough to listen, if you do me a favor, would you give me a follow or a like or a maybe review or rating? Tell a friend. It's important that we let people know that other folks are enjoying the show and that they should make a chance to take a listen too. So thank you for doing that. Purpose Under Pressure is brought to you in partnership with Sandler by the Ruby Group, serving sales professionals nationwide from their Akron and Columbus, Ohio, and Jacksonville, Florida locations. It is ice cold here today in Ohio, and that Jacksonville, Florida location does sound good. Selling is the right way. Actually, selling the right way is an art, and it's very important as a business owner that when you put yourself out there, that you're putting yourself out there in a way that your customer wants to do business with you. It's not a sales gig. It's not a sales technique. How do they want to do business with you? That's sales done the right way, and that is the Ruby Group and Sandler. So if you want to train your sales team to do that, give them a call. They are Sandler by the Ruby Group, and check them out online at therubygroup.sandler.com. Our show today is all about starting your own business, promises made, promises kept, and the purpose and the pressures that go along with that. And if you are out there listening as a new business owner, as a potential business owner, we've got some good information for you. Henry Boggs, president of Concept Manufacturing right here in Ashland, Ohio, is our guest on Purpose Under Pressure. Henry, welcome to the show.
Morning, Brian. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate you having you on, and I'm looking forward to having the conversation. I know you as a man of ethics and a man of integrity and a man of I'm not going to quit until I get the right thing done right, the way I promised it would be. And that's what this show is really all about. So I've been looking forward to this conversation. So let's start, Henry, with that. What is your purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? Tell me a little bit about Concept Manufacturing. Let's talk about the good stuff. Then we'll get into some pressures.
Okay. Concept Manufacturing started 2017. We started as a contract manufacturer going into it. We've changed a few times as, you know, customers demand has moved and as we hit COVID. So, did whatever we need to mm-hmm. to survive. We do contract manufacturing in the industrial sector with Wooster Brush and in, semi tractor and trailer, production of, aftermarket products with an aerodynamic wing.
So these customers, the customers that you have a product, have a plan, a business model. They come to you to kind of put it together and get it shipped. Is that what it is?
Absolutely. So we have the buildings, the people, the manufacturing process. They send in the parts and the machines to do it with, and we create the product that they're looking for. And we can do about anything. So
do anything. And one of the things that's hard for businesses, I know, is employees. And hiring and payroll and all that stuff that goes into it, even keeping a sales or a staff online. You guys take care of that then for them too, right? Is that right?
Yes, we bring in the amount of people that needs to. Most of the time we take their process and are able to do some process improvements and shrink down the number of people needed, which helps. Our one customer specifically sent over a system that took about seven people to do it at its full capacity. And we were able to get it down to three through some process improvements, how we move product through the process and how we brought product and presented it to it. So that's one of the ways that we stay ahead of the people needed curve is reducing the amount of people that are needed for the product.
And so when you're doing that, it's important. I'm sure there's pressures from your customers to get things done right and on time and to keep your promises, keep costs low. I'm wondering what you won't sacrifice on. This is kind of where purpose and pressure come in. You've made some promises, but there's pressures that go along with that. And they're probably looking down your shoulder going, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
What won't you sacrifice?
Yeah. Quality and the safety of people, right? Safety always being number one, but that's first and foremost. So everybody knows that quality, we just won't compromise on it. And if we have to slow something down, if we have to let the customer know that, hey, we're going to miss a deadline because of these quality issues or these issues with the machine, and we feel like this is not going to get the product you need. And we're one of those people that throw the red flag first. We'll let you know everything that's going on. We're trying to hide it and wait down to the day, not be able to make a shipment. You're going to know well ahead of time if there's any problems in the system, no matter what they are.
So tell me about Henry Boggs. How does that play into, or how does that show off your purpose? How does that go together?
So for me, when I started the business, there was two things I wanted to accomplish. I wanted a long-term place for employees to be at, not something that was going to go up and go away, you know, take all the money out of the business and shove it in my pocket and run. You know, we try and reinvest at least 25% of everything we make. The last couple of years, we've been at about 75% of everything we make, reinvesting it back into the company, whether it's hiring another position that we really don't have sales for quite yet, or buying the next piece of equipment to upgrade. Like we're buying equipment that's arriving the 22nd of January to do die cutting. We have a laminating machine coming in March. So we just keep repurposing back in to make sure we have a longevity for the employees. On the customer,
No, go ahead. That's okay. Good. I want to hear both. Yeah.
On the customer side, we wanted to have something that was transparent. One of the hardest things dealing with my past in Tier 1 automotive and running a small company in Westerville for an equity firm was always digging through the pricing and trying to find where all the hidden parts were from suppliers. We're open book pricing. You know, we show you where the charges are going. Here's how much we're paying for people. Here's how much we're paying for overhead. I mean, our customers right now, I know how much I make at this point, right? So we're pretty much as open book pricing as you can get. And we're very open with how we do business. You know, there's our customers don't schedule to come into the plant. They come into the plant when they need to, and we have meetings, conversations. So it's a very easy flow of business for any of the customers we deal with.
Open book pricing, that doesn't happen everywhere.
No.
And maybe not, I don't know much about your industry, but so everybody gets to see kind of this is how much profit we're having. This is what's fair. This is what we need. That's all kind of a partnership approach.
Correct. So we always want this to be a win-win for everybody, right? So it's hard to do because people are not used to it. So when you first say that, people are very skeptical, but when you start digging in, you know, Worcester Brush is our largest customer in the area. We sit down with them, and that was one of the first commitments I made to them was, you know, you'll see every bit of pricing. You're like, here it is. And if we make an improvement on the profitability side for us, we also share with that with the customer. So we have a set amount that we want to make because you want to do business with them for a long term. We're not looking to be fly by the night. So we share in any of the profits that we get above that set percentage that we need so that we're both going through and making money.
Let's talk about how that kind of came about. I'm sure that comes from somewhere. Either that was something that was born and bred into you, which is ethics and those kinds of things. But running a business in that way sounds like there's a lot of transparency, and maybe that it always hasn't been that way for you. We were talking a little bit before the show about some of the ways that you got started. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about pressure. Let's talk about starting your own company, the things that you have to do when you're trying to do things right. And maybe things don't quite go the way you planned. Let's dig in.
Yeah, so when I started the business, I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and I had an opportunity. I'd done a little bit of consulting, and even though I enjoy the floor, the consulting may not be the best fit for me from the other side of things. So really wanted to be in manufacturing. I've always been in manufacturing. Had an opportunity with a company in Worcester. That they had a project that didn't fit into their wheelhouse, but to get the part of the business that did fit into their wheelhouse, they had to take this assembly process from a plastic side and boxing and shipping out, and it just didn't fit them in any way. They knew that I had started a small business through mutual friends, contacts, and they approached me and said, hey, would you be interested in bidding on this project? Absolutely. So, went back and forth for about 60 days, you know, doing pricing, understanding what they needed. And it came down to, hey, if you are willing to get a building in Worcester, then we'd love to do business with you. We'll get a contract signed and everything as soon as you get the building. That was on Monday. Wednesday, I get the building. I sign it. We have a small amount of cash to start up with. And that lease would have taken, we would have been able to cover everything for about 10 months. I let him know on Wednesday afternoon through email that, hey, we have a building. We're ready to go. Thursday morning, about 9 o'clock, I get an email. Let me know they killed the project.
Monday, he says he's in if you buy a building. By Wednesday, you have the building. Thursday morning, he says we're done.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Holy. So what did you do? And I'm not talking about business. I'm talking about inside Henry Boggs. What exploded at that point?
You know, everybody has that panic moment, right? And you kind of spin in a circle for a minute, and then you just got to take a deep breath, right? I've been in plant launches, plant closures. I've been, you know, transitioning businesses from one company to another. buyouts. So after 22 years of that, you pretty much, you know, build a little bit of a tough skin, and you just can't fall apart, right? I mean, you don't get in business to fall apart. So I had a couple of past colleagues reach out in the weeks before asking about sorting companies and asking if there was one I could recommend. And at the time, there wasn't one offhand in the area that I could recommend that I thought would be able to handle their needs. Well, Thursday morning, I get the email. I'm on the phone with the gentleman that I have the best relationship with, that I'd worked with at another company, and said, "Hey, I know a guy that went into the sorting and rework business today." So that was our fastest avenue to trying to get some business.
So I already did the timeline once. I'm going to add to it. So instead of on Thursday morning getting the email and going home and crying in your supper for a little bit and maybe losing some sleep, that same day?
Yes.
You fixed the problem?
Yeah. And then on Friday, we were in the plant and working out a contract. I'd never had made a contract before for sorting and rework. So we hammered through a contract. And by Monday morning, we were in the plant sorting and doing rework. And so it was myself and another person that I had on staff at the time. We went in first, and then we ended up having 7 employees there all total. Worked myself back out of it so I could run the business and do sales. And we were with that customer for 2.5 years.
Wow. So this is a really interesting question, if I do say so myself. What did you learn? So you took on a project without a contract, said, "Do this for me and then I'll sign a contract." You did it. You got screwed for whatever reason. Yeah. Maybe that's not the right word, but it didn't go right. Immediately you were back in business and you were cooking. What did you learn from that?
Have to be flexible, right? You know, there's a point in life where you have to decide if you're going to give up and go back to what you were doing, and which wasn't fulfilling at the time. It just didn't give me any personal gratification to be able to keep moving forward. I knew that I wanted to have my own business and give a great environment for people and customers. And you just have to make that decision that, hey, I'm just going to run forward. And, you know, I like to say, you know, jump first and build wings on the way down. Right. And that's pretty much how this whole business has went, as we've had to pivot at different times in the 5 years that we've been up and going.
That's tremendous.
It's just way of life.
So, and that's what I was wondering, because you could have answered two ways. You could have answered, "I will never do anything again without cash in hand or some kind of a promise." You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Or there is, "I learned that things happen for a reason. If I just keep on plowing forward, things get taken care of." And I think that's what you learned. What did you say? Jump first and build the wings later.
Build wings on the way down. Yep.
On the way down, and do it fast, but do it well. Yep. And there you go back into quality. You've been doing this for 5 years now, which, if my math serves me right, means you started just before the world kind of fell apart with COVID and things. So here you started this company, it went sideways, you put it back on top, and away you went. Yep. Then what happened?
You know what? There's certain things in life that you believe are there for you. And my faith has always been there for me. You know, I've always trusted that God has the right things going forward. Through right before COVID, we had really started cooking with the sorting and rework. We had got our second customer. We had about 22 people working. Got the opportunity to have 22 people working. And then when I sat down and started looking at cash flow, you learn about cash flow real quick when you have a little business, right? It's great to get a big contract and know that you're going to have work, but then you have to have the money ahead of time. And unfortunately, both of the first customers were 90-day nets. So you have to cover all of the expenses for 90 days before you get paid. So when I had the opportunity for the big client in sorting rework, I called my dad. The two people that's got me through this business as far as God and my dad. And I called my dad and said, "Hey, I have this opportunity. You know, I can put numbers together for you. I can come sit down and have a meeting with you, you know, like a true businessman." And he said, "That's great. I'll be there tomorrow with the money you need." And it was $50,000. Yeah. I'll tell you. I mean, because that's a huge number for somebody that's a working man that was, you know, 5 years away from retirement. And he went in and took $50,000 out of savings and drove up and met me the next morning so that the business could go forward.
Have you always had that relationship with your father that you knew that that would be the answer? Or did you wonder, and what did he see in you that made that such a strong investment?
You know, we grew up on a farm for the first 7 or 8 years of my life. And so you get a certain work ethic on a small hard scrabble farm in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. It's all hillside. There are no pastures, right? So you learn how to do a lot with a little. And my dad has seen me progress. I didn't go to college right off. When I was working for Toyota Bosch Crew, I did go back and take 1 year of classes at a local community college. But I went from being on the floor. Well, I started out doing construction, then got into automotive, went from being somebody on the floor, it was a great opportunity. I don't ever belittle that opportunity, but I started moving up through the ranks, and I went from being a line worker all the way up to being an AGM for a Toyota Bosch Crew and having about 800 people reporting through me. So my dad saw that there was every excuse in the world, poor, not a real great education level, started on the floor. I had every reason not to succeed. And he just saw that I took the opportunities that had come, worked really hard, probably too much. A lot of the times during those 22 years, it was 7 days a week, you know, over 12 hours a day. But I was trying to build something in myself and for the company. So I worked for.
Tell me a little bit about growing up on the farm. I think that's such an amazing opportunity to learn business and faith and trust. Tell me what you learned in that you were able to put into process now when you're trying to overcome those pressures.
I realized very early on that there's a certain point you just have to put trust in people, even when you really are worried that it's not going to work out. I can remember being 4 or 5 years old. People nowadays think this is an exaggeration, but being 4 or 5 years old and driving a little like 1950 some Cub Cadet tractor through the hay fields while my dad was throwing the hay bales onto the trailer, then jump on, stack them, jump back off at the next pile, you know, and I'm motoring away on this little Cub Cadet tractor at probably a half a mile an hour. But, you know, he put that trust in me that early in life. And it makes you reinforce that you have to live up to what people are trusting you to do. And, you know, that's how we approach everything with our customers. I'll give you an example. Worcester Brush is very selective with what they send out to suppliers, especially small suppliers. And each time they've upped the ante with the work that they gave us. The very first piece was a little white cap, put a sticker on it, count 24 of them out, put them in a box and tape it. And all the way up to we're doing automated gluing robots for them. We're doing peening operations. And they have trusted us each time to say, hey, we're not sure you can do this, but we have faith that you've hit every mark that we've asked you on the previous stuff. Here's another hurdle to jump over. And we've always appreciated that they've given us the opportunity to show that when we say it, we're going to do it.
Yeah. And you do that for every one of your customers. And it sounds like you did it for your father too, yep, when he loaned you the money. Yep. I'm interested then when you took that $50,000 and you knew it's your dad. Yep. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to send you to debtor's prison, but yet you're the kind of guy you're going to make sure it pays off. What kind of pressures did you have to overcome to make sure that you, you know, paid back that debt?
You know, dad and I had an agreement that I wouldn't pay anything back for the first 6 months. And then after that, we would start a whatever I could afford payment plan. And from the time he gave it to me till it was all done, it was 18 months. I paid him back in full. And, you know, the only advantage.
Was that over the pandemic?
Yes.
Was that over the pandemic too?
Yep.
Okay. So what kind of pressures were going on then that made it hard to make those payments back? Or did it just take care of itself?
No. So during the pandemic, right before it started, we had both of our main customers in sorting and rework go bankrupt. One truly filed bankruptcy, and one filed a restructuring. So I don't know if anybody's ever been through that, but they don't keep paying you money during that time. And the government tells them they don't have to pay it during that time or the court system. Luckily, I did have a great relationship with one of the companies, and they did pay us partial payments all the way through until they got us paid off. The other company, it went a full almost 2 years before we got full restitution. So during that time, I've got payroll out. At that time, we were probably $350,000, $400,000 year company, and I had $136,000 out in payroll and labor, you know, because they were 90-day nets.
What's that feel like to be in that kind of a situation?
You know what? There's only one thing in business that gives me any angst, and that's payroll. Because these people come to you and put their families in your hands of how they're going to make a living, and they perform the work, And the worst thing that could ever happen to me is not be able to meet payroll. I mean, so yes, there was a lot of times through that time period where, you know, we would have $100 in the bank account on Friday when we went home, and payroll, you know, is run on Monday and the money has to be in the bank on Wednesday. And we know we're not getting a payment from anybody till Tuesday. So, you know, you're just praying. And like I said, it may offend some, I'm sorry, but you know, I always put That's my okay. faith in God that, hey, the money was going to show up when it needed to be and where it was supposed to be on time. And through this whole time it has been. And like I said, we've been down to $100 in the bank account with, you know, $8,000 in, you know, payroll due on the next Thursday.
And so it sounds to me like every single time you've taken a step, somehow you've been smacked in the face, and yet you stand strong and you do the things that you're supposed to do, and everybody wins. Like the businesses you work with, they have pressures too, right?
Yes, sir.
And so you guys are kind of like, do you see that as a partner? Like, hey, we're both going to go through troubles. Let's help each other out. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. And honestly, we only work with people that have that mentality. We've could have grown a lot faster. You know, one, we could have taken a lot more money, especially during the pandemic. You know, there was a lot of money out there for 2 or 3%. And I'm not disparaging anybody that took it. We've just chosen up until the last couple months, to be pretty much, cash flow only. Mm-hmm. But we also do not take money unless we have a clear plan on how we're going to pay it back. If we can't pay it back within 6 to 8 months, then we won't take the money. But we've just always been that, you know, we do what we say.
One of the biggest problems we have as managers and leaders is sometimes we're not focusing on leading and we end up doing it for our sales team. How do we coach our people to help them figure out what self-limiting belief that they have that's holding them back from achieving the levels of success that they know they're capable of? Help them flush out what we call their own head trash, that thing that's holding them back. So work with your team, lead by example, watch your team achieve greater levels of success, and watch your team grow, and more importantly, watch your company and your business grow.
You know, I'm interested now. Is your father, is he still in the picture? Is he, can you tell me a little bit? I'm interested in his thoughts about you now after what he invested in you.
It was very funny. Him and my mom take usually one big trip a year, and they go with the senior citizens group because it's a great deal. And it's a lot of their friends go. It's hard for me to consider them senior citizens because they're still so active. Dad took about 3 or 4 years, I'll say off, but working for me, working for other people, and went back to work full time here about 6 months ago because he was bored. All he's ever done is work. So, you know, he had an opportunity to help a friend out that was in need, having trouble getting people. And so he's working right now. But they were on this trip. Sorry, I digressed. But they were on this senior citizens trip out west, and they were all looking up like their names on Google, right? So my dad put in, you know, Google search for Henry Boggs, right? And the first thing that popped up was my name as president of Concept Manufacturing.
His son.
And my mom called me not that long after that happened. You know, on like within an hour of that happening. And she said, I've never seen your dad get emotional before, especially in public. And we're on a bus with 50 people, you know, from a lot of them from our hometown. And he's got his phone up showing everybody with tears in his eyes saying, hey, look, this is my son. This is, you know, I had a part in this, but, you know, this is all the things he's done. I'm getting choked up. But, you know,
me too. Yeah.
That's my dad's always been there for me. So, and my mom, I don't want to leave my mom out. My mom, my mom changed my school schedules to make sure that I took typing and bookkeeping and all that stuff because I always said I wanted a business. And I put, you know, 4, you know, study halls when I had the opportunity to do that. And I'd get to school to start the first day. And I don't have any study halls. I got plenty of other things, you know, public speaking with 4-H. I won state for public speaking for 4-H. So my mom always made sure we had those outlets to develop our skills. So I don't want to leave her out either. It's just dad's been a more of the work side life, you know, influence.
I tell you, there's nothing like family, the strong family. And if you're having troubles in the world, you know, often we can look back at some of those hardships that families are having now. And God bless you for being able to be raised that way. I'm interested real quickly, since we're talking about family, you mentioned earlier on when I asked about your purpose, you said workforce.
Yep.
And that struck me a little bit different. I hear most people say, I want to help people, but you were very specific. I want to put people to work.
Yep.
And local. Can you tell me a little bit more about why you feel that strongly and how you go about doing that here in Mid-Ohio?
Let's go back to my very first job in the automotive sector. I won't say the company's name. It's a great company to work for, but they went from being a pretty small company when it comes to tier one automotive. And during the 9 years I was there, they grew to a $1 billion company. And one of the things I saw is that in the first 4 years, 5 years, there was a lot of effort into people and people being very important. And as the business grew, you went from more from being a person and how do we help you to, hey, here's your employee number and we need to get this many out. Now, I'm not saying that production is important. I'm a production guy, but there was a huge shift. So when I started my own business, I put that in the forefront that, hey, we want to make sure that we always understand people are people. People have issues. People have family issues, unexpected things. So one of the things we did, we committed to a 4-day work week. We do 4-10s. We make sure all of our customers know we work 4-10s, right? We make sure that people have time with their families to be able to take care of their personal things. If we do have to add a second shift, we've always done a weekend shift, 3-12s. It committed. That's not always easy to fill. It's not always easy to manage. But we've always tried to keep everything on a day shift time frame. And that way those people also had 4 days off during the week. So it's been very important to schedule that and make sure that that's how our business is set up. And again, we continue to invest back in to the business and to the people. We started EOS last year. It's an entrepreneur operating system based off the book Traction, because we felt like we didn't have enough processes and procedures in place. We were still operating as a mom and pop shop, and we wanted to be a true manufacturing company. Everybody in the salary side and anybody on the hourly side that wanted it, we bought the book for them. We do, I won't say a book a month, but we do books on a regular basis. If somebody's struggling with something, somebody wants to improve a skill, then we pass off a book to them. We get them help. We just got accepted to Scalerator. That's a Northeast Ohio program that you can get a grant for scholarship through them to go through. And basically that's a learning for all of your salary side. There was a lot of other opportunities that I could have taken, but it was a president CEO only. And then you come back and divulge the information and try and teach them. The reason we chose to go with Scalerator was because everybody in the group is involved at the same time, learning the same things, breaking off in sessions to learn for their specific materials or manufacturing, you know, part to be more in depth on how to scale the business. So everything we do is based off of all of us working together to move in the right direction.
I'm interested. People have such trouble finding workers today. And I came up with this. I think I came up with it or I read it somewhere. But this idea of being an employer of choice, where people want to work for you in a level playing field, when all businesses need workers, why will someone choose you? I'm wondering if that approach towards your employees and that inclusive and the way that you're helping everybody grow, does that help them choose you? Are you having troubles keeping staffed?
You know what? We're not having trouble getting staff. I will tell you that we do have turnover like everybody else. We're in the medium range, and we're still working on getting benefits, medical benefits and stuff. So most of the people that are leaving are graduating into jobs. I'll say better jobs. I don't think that's the right word, but I don't know the right context to put it in. But to have better benefits or to have better pay. We have very few that just say, hey, you're a horrible place. I mean, we all have those few out there that didn't work out, and you go out on our Google, or you go out on our whatever, and there's going to be somebody that says, oh, that place is horrible. Yeah. Unfortunately, not everything's a fit, but most of our people graduate. I mean, there's very few people that we actually term. Most of them, if they have left, they've self-selected in some way that either, you know, as we went through Traction, I'll never forget. I had a admin, and we all started reading the book Traction. And she got about three chapters through the book Attraction, and she came to me and she said, hey, nothing wrong with the direction you're going, but if this is the direction you're going, like, I know I'm not a fit for this.
And I'm not the right butt for the right seat.
Yeah. You know, you're always upset when that happens. Nobody wins when somebody leaves, but it was encouraging to know that we were providing the right trainings and the right opportunities to understand, hey, this is our values. this is where we want to be. This is where we're going. And if you don't fit that, you're self-selecting and going somewhere that, more fit, appropriately fits what you're trying to do.
As we get to wrap up here, I'm interested in the future. And you talked about adding more space and more machinery and more opportunities, more capacity. What's the future look like for Concept Manufacturing? What are the pressures that you're going to have to overcome? And what are you focused on next?
So January 8th, we acquired another 12,000 square feet here in Ashland, right across the parking lot from the current building we're in. And as I was saying earlier, on the 22nd of January, we have the die cutting machine. And in March, we have a laminating machine coming in, PSA laminating. That presents a whole
new. Do you already have business for that? Do you already have business booked for that?
Well, I have.
Or are you building the wings on the way down?
I have one customer and an old colleague of mine that I worked with back in 95. And I had a past colleague also set up to do sales for us. He has his own sales rep business. He did some stuff in the PSA laminating, but is not his main area of focus. So I felt great and comfortable. Hey, we got a little bit of business to start up with. It'll basically cover the rent. And then, you know, we have this great sales guy that's going to do this. No hard feelings at all with this next statement. He got a hold of me about a week ago and said, hey, I have this huge opportunity in my wheelhouse, but it's going to take up all my time and all my, I have to hire another guy to help me out and we'll be completely booked. I hate to do this to you, but like, I can't rep you. I can't help you.
There you go again.
So you know, got kicked in the teeth, you know, and you know, got you know, a couple $100,000 of equipment coming, and we don't have you know, a ton of money coming in for that certain segment yet, but we've already recovered. We got with a contract sales company. Actually, it's just one guy. Had four or five conversations with him, and he same mindset. You know, hey. I'm a month to month. You don't sign a year contract. You know, if I'm not doing a good job, man, throw me out of the building. Throw me out, right? And here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to deliver. And, you know, can't wait to work with you. I want to, you know, just exceed all the expectations. You know, that's what I was looking for. Now, do we know if it's going to work out? Nobody ever knows the future. But what I can tell you is we're not going to stop trying. We're not going to stop pushing forward.
I love that. I have a feeling that you're going to keep on jumping. You're going to keep on building and keep on landing on your feet. And I just think that that requires guts, but it also requires faith. I think you've got plenty of guts. I think you have more faith. And I think that's pretty awesome, Henry. Good for you. And your parents are proud of you. Yeah.
Sometimes I think we're just not smart enough to be scared. It'd probably help if we had a little more fear.
maybe not. You wouldn't be talking to me right now, sharing me these success stories. If you were afraid, you just keep on jumping. Hey, Concept Manufacturing is open and available for business and you're looking for new partners. If someone wanted to reach out to you and talk to you about that, or even talk to you about entrepreneurship or whatever that you could help them with, how would they do that?
They can contact me directly, on cell phone. I give that. It's 812-677-2043. And then we have the website. And it's HBoggs at conceptmanufacturingllc.com.
Thank you, Henry Boggs. Let me tell you something that I was thinking in my head. I think sometimes we make it too hard on ourselves. I think sometimes we sit and figure and fact and try to figure out whether it's going to work. Does A and B going to equal C, or is 1 and 2 going to equal 3? And sometimes we just need to go, don't we? Yeah. And if it doesn't make sense, we keep on rolling. What would your advice other than that be for a young entrepreneur or a struggling business owner who's trying to figure out what to do next?
So a young entrepreneur, don't wait. I waited until I was in my 40s. I had every excuse in the book. And when I jumped out there, with $15,000 and didn't exactly know what I was going to do in business. You should probably have a little more of a plan than I had. But, you know, I just realized I was at the point in life where like it's now or never. And it's been one of the most rewarding things I've done besides my kids. You know, that's the most rewarding things in life that has happened to me. But other than that, this is the most rewarding thing that I've had happen, you know, to me. So
living right. Good things happen to good people when you just show up and do the right things. I think it's kind of like on the farm. You plant the seed and you hope. And usually that seed bears some fruit. So congratulations, Henry. Thank you for being on our show. That's Henry Boggs of Concept Manufacturing. I really appreciate you being on Purpose Under Pressure. Henry Boggs is my guest on Purpose Under Pressure. It's brought to you by Sandler, by the Ruby Group. Sellers are under pressure to perform, and Sandler helps you to succeed on purpose. You'll find all past episodes of Purpose Under Pressure at brianmediastrategies.com/podcast and wherever you stream your podcasts. We do this every week, and we will see you again next time on Purpose.